All right, everybody, welcome back to another special edition of the Crypto Rundown. Taking off the producer hat, putting on the hosting hat, it's your host TiVo along with Brian. And you know, when we bring Brian in, it is a special day. It's usually a Friday, which always gets us jacked up going into the weekend. And we are going to be deep diving into all the top meme coin trades. Where's the best alpha in the meme coin markets? We're putting on the hard hats. We're hitting the trenches with Brian to dive us into the meme coins. Brian's with us again earlier this week. If you've missed it, we had a great interview this week. We had two rundowns with Brendan. We did technical analysis. We talked a lot about the macro. We talked a lot about the Federal Reserve meeting next week, which we will touch on here because we want to hear Brian's thoughts. And then we'll dive into some Polymarket stuff, which we usually like to do with Brian, just to kind of see, you know, where the betting odds are and all that. But again, if you missed anything with Brendan earlier in the week, there's two awesome rundowns. You want to go back and get that for just your, you know, Brendan does the technical analysis. Brian's the meme coin guy. So again, more macro stuff, more crypto specific technical analysis in the first two episodes. But Brian's here today to dive into these meme coins. Brian, welcome back. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, doing great. And I lurk in those rundowns quite a bit. So I highly recommend anybody jumping in. I've been contributing as much as I can, but Brendan's a TA god, so I learn a ton from you and him and absolutely love it. But you guys crush it. I'm doing great, man. I'm happy it's Friday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can take any credit to educating other than giving, you know, some spicy takes. I'm the vibes guy. I'm the self-proclaimed vibes guy. And overall, we definitely feel like this is kind of a spot in the market. I know in your space, like the meme coin market, there's always alpha to find. I know that, you know, you've had great winners. Just kind of a little teaser here. You know, the last time we talked, you brought up a coin. I'm not going to mention it because it's so funny. Anybody that, we got a primary URL problem on our thing. Let's see, primary indigestion. Hopefully the live stream's working, guys. If it's not, CJ's in there. He's saying it works, so it should be good.
Cool.
Sorry, threw me off there. But basically,
right there, saying, CJ.
Yeah, we love CJ. So basically, you know, when we're kind of in that stagnant, we're waiting for this big macro event to happen with the Fed. A lot of people call it a clearing event. After a clearing event, the market can go higher, it can go lower. If anybody tells you they know exactly what's going to happen, they're lying to you. But in the sense of meme coins, it's there's always stuff to be found. There's always alpha to be found. So Brian, let's just set the table with everybody. We want to hear your macro view too. We're going into Fed week. You know, what's your thoughts on, you know, the Bitcoin? I know last time you're on, we did Ethereum flows and Solana flows, and we're going to touch on that kind of first before we deep dive into the meme stuff. But give the viewers your kind of layout of the macro view.
Yeah, I mean, typically we always talk about this. The month of September is a red-tember for a reason. It's usually a slow month of trading. It's a good time to really buy in because October going into November, when everyone's sitting around with grandma at Thanksgiving and telling her that she needs to buy Bitcoin, we run pretty hard. My personal thoughts are this fall is going to be great for the macros, for crypto overall. That's all of these sectors. I think we're still in the thick of it right now. But recently, and we're going to get into it with some of these links that we have to talk about, September's looking pretty strong in comparison to really where I thought it was going to go. We took a couple weeks there that we took a step back, but you know, I mean, Bitcoin's still trading 110K. I think it's 115 today. Solana's absolutely melting faces out there. ETF inflows are looking good. I'm an absolute perma bull. I think this is going to be, if we're calling it a cycle, I think this is going to be a really special cycle, a longer cycle. And I'm bulled up, man. Fidelity, I think it's on here. Fidelity was calling like $1 billion Bitcoin in the year 2038, something ridiculous. I mean, you can't find enough bullish headlines.
It is funny to see all those, you know, old guards start listing their price targets, but I guess Fidelity isn't the worst of them. It would be JP Morgan when they come out and start. When Jamie Dimon's saying like, "I can't wait and I'm super excited for $1 million Bitcoin," that's when that's when I'll be the most interested of being like, didn't know you really really thought that way. I agree with you. I think it's so funny you said permeable. I think I wrapped up the show last week just being like, and we all understand and know, listen, hand up, Brendan and I are the biggest perma bulls you're going to find. So we'll just add Brian to the list. But along with the macro, it's really easy to see, just kind of the momentum. And I think I've harped on this a lot in the past shows of, again, the price actions has a lot of momentum. Obviously, the industry itself and how it's grown from all these TradFi people, like you said, Fidelity, Goldman Sachs, you know, JP Morgan, everybody wants to build on the blockchain. They want to use stable coins. And again, there's just the appetite enough for these crypto IPOs, which is stuff that I've hammered home. I think Gemini is trading. It's going live today, I believe. It priced at 28 a share, I think. So I think it was about 20% above, which has been like kind of the standard start for a lot of these, you know, IPOs. And then again, you know, the earlier ones, a lot of them have ripped out of the gate. It might start trading possibly while we're live. I think it's between like the 1 to 2 window. So if it does, we could do some breaking news. My personal take on that one is I think it's, you know, the Winklevoss twins, Gemini, great exchange, but I don't think you're going to see that. I don't think you're going to see that radical like hockey stick type thing, because I just think the crypto IPOs, not that there's not hunger for them, clearly, because it priced 20% above, you know, it's asking, but I don't think you're going to see that circle like, you know, 800% in a 10 days. But kind of I'm leading us into our first clip, because we played something the other day. It was the SEC saying, the SEC chair saying that crypto's time has come. And then yesterday I saw a clip of Mike Novogratz from Galaxy basically commenting on, you know, the same thing, how the SEC just loves crypto, wants crypto. And the quote was, the SEC is radical for crypto. So let's take a look at Mike Novogratz. Anytime this guy speaks, people listen. And we actually had Galaxy, Jason Urban, their head of trading, on the show a couple weeks ago. So let's hear what Mike had to say.
I think probably we have another big surge up towards the end of the year in Bitcoin as the Fed starts the cutting cycle. And this kind of crypto idea just keeps gaining momentum. It's interesting that the SEC chair about 2 weeks ago, Paul Atkins, said he wants all markets to move on chain. And that is such a radical departure from where we were. And it's a radical statement. And he's been, that wasn't a one-off speech, right? We continue every couple days, there's another comment that's pushing things in the right direction. You saw NASDAQ's announcement yesterday. I've been saying for, I don't know, years, this blockchain revolution really had just been Bitcoin as a store of value, and then stable coins as cross-border payments. And what had held us back was blockchains being fast enough, safe enough, secure enough, and trusted enough, and more importantly, a regulatory framework that allowed people to experiment. And so now we have both.
Regulatory framework that's allowing people to experiment. That sounds like altcoin season to me, Brian. I'll say this. I know we've talked about this topic a lot, so I really just want to hear your thoughts. But the red carpet's there, and I think there's this kind of thought process of where, you know, James Safar tweeted, we pulled it up on the last show, there's like 90 crypto ETFs just waiting. The applications are just waiting. And people are saying, oh, it shouldn't be taking this long. Some of these should be getting approved. And again, there's probably some that would be easily approved and some that might, you know, your Penguins or Trump ETFs of the world might take a little bit more thought around it. But my take was this. It was a twofold. Number one, they're just getting exactly what Mike said. They're getting the runway ready. So when it's go time, I mean, it's a clean flush. It's a go for everything. And I guess there's some things that might not make the cut depending on what the regulations are, but they're just figuring out everything. And they're kind of backlogging the process until they figure this out. And then, Brian, if you want, we can get out the tinfoil, wrap it up, little tinfoil hat, and just being like, hey, we can't rush this. The institutions aren't ready. The old guards aren't ready to start allocating to crypto and start, especially altcoins, and they're way behind. And that's kind of my theory with the, you know, the JP Morgans and the Goldman Sachs, when they come out and they're just like, oh yeah, totally, you know, love blockchain. Don't like Bitcoin, but love blockchain technology, the future. Yeah. No, we're building on it for sure. Again, we won't know until, I guess, five, you know, whatever years out, but you know, who has been building and who's building the right things to use and leverage this technology, and who's kind of got caught stealing, if you will, of, you know, they're behind the eight ball, the timing of it. So just what are your thoughts on Mike's clip there? The SEC is radical for crypto, you know, overall, and then specifically for the meme coin market, it would be interesting because like Mike said, he's looking for experimentation.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a slew of different ETFs that come out. I think today, it was delayed by a day, Doge ETF got released. So we're going to see more interesting ETFs get released, in my opinion. The timing factor of that, because you don't really want them to like cannibalize each other either, because there's so much like flow going into Bitcoin and then Ethereum's catching a bid. I'm pretty sure that everybody believes that Solana is going to catch an ETF, and that's going to be very bullish for Solana, and that looks great. But I also strongly believe Pengu will have an ETF eventually. The timing of it, I have no idea. If I could time that, you know, I'd be a multi-billionaire with Mike Novo and yacht racing. But it's just a super interesting time to be involved. We talk about it all the time. Pro-administration. Oh, you said something there that a lot of people like JP Morgan's like, we love blockchain technology, but we're not a big believer in Bitcoin. Well, no, I was going to swear there. No, duh. it's like asking like a New York City taxi driver what they think of Uber. You know, it's like they thought forever that the taxi system was going to be forever. The medallion was going to be worth so much. Now they absolutely hate Uber. It's faster, safer, cheaper. So I think everybody's going to come around. We're seeing it more and more every single day. Every week we wake up, it doesn't matter what the price is. There's just more bullish things happening. And one thing that's for sure is even though it's a red month in September, typically we see positive inflows with the ETFs. I guess the bankers didn't get the memo that we're supposed to be down in September because they're still buying. We're flowing positive.
Yeah, my take, just to give it to you, a lot of listeners probably have heard it, is it's kind of like the most hated rally. So when you have the volatility that we had earlier in the year around this Liberation Day and tariffs and all that, you know, people make decisions. And if you sold out of that for whatever reason, you might have needed to, you might have thought the world was ending, you might have thought the capital market structure wasn't going to hold up. But if you sold then and then you really didn't buy back, you've just watched one of the fastest face-ripping V-shape recoveries in history. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about the NASDAQ, the S&P, the Dow, Bitcoin, you know, whatever. It was a V-shape face-ripping rally. And so what the kind of the thought process behind that is, it being the most hated rally, is like these people kind of watched it go up 5%. They're like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's just a dead cat bounce. It's going to come back down and probably go lower. And then it goes up 8, 10%. And they're just like, well, it's not going to stay up. I mean, this is crazy. And then they don't buy, and then it goes up 15%, 20%, yada, yada, yada. And they're just watching, and now they're angry because, you know, number one, you know, they're wrong. So when you're wrong, you know, you either got to reassess and change your game plan. But I just think a lot of people, you know, it sucks to be wrong, but what sucks more is when you're wrong and you're not digesting the new information and trying to change your views and opinions with the education of what's actually happening. And it feels like this was such a unique year in the capital markets across the board, just because there is such a mix of just volatility, but it was kind of like political. Like it felt like people were making a lot of investment decisions kind of based on their politics too. And when you live in those, you know, again, we don't want to go down that road, but like there's certain things that seem to be creeping into decision making in the capital markets that have left a lot of people on the sidelines, and they're very, very angry. And so that kind of creates that kind of thought where, you know, these dips are being bought very fast. And so seasonably, like, oh, August is going to fall off the table, September, we're going to fall off the table. It's like, you know, there's dips, there's always volatility, there's always pullbacks, but they're pretty shallow overall. So I'll pull up Coin Market Cap for us. And just, you know, dealer's choice, Brian, take us where you think you want to go. We touched on how, like, you know, you see the Fear and Greed Index is 50. We touched on how a couple weeks ago, we kissed fear. It got me excited. I was like, oh man, I can't believe we just kissed Bitcoin Fear Greed Index. And we were like at like 100 and I think it was like $109,000, $110,000. The altcoin index is just slowly dancing along the line going higher. So, you know, this is your world, man. Tell us where you want to go and give some knowledge to the people. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus. If you have been considering futures trading, now might be the time to take a closer look. The futures market has seen increased activity recently, and Plus 500 Futures offers a straightforward entry point. The platform provides access to major instruments, including the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, natural gas, and other key markets across equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and crypto. Their interface is designed for accessibility. You can monitor and execute trades from your phone with a $100 minimum deposit. Once your account is open, potential trades can be executed in two clicks. For those who prefer to practice first, Plus 500 offers an unlimited demo account with full charting and analytical tools. No risk involved while you familiarize yourself with the platform. The company has been operating in the trading space for over 20 years. Download the Plus 500 app today. Trading in futures involves a risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify.
I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
Yeah, I mean, things are looking good. Bitcoin 115, we're closing at 116. We're up on the week. Again, for a month that's notoriously known to being red, the bankers didn't get the memo and they're buying it up. That's the long and short of it. We got Bitcoin. We got Ethereum. I mean, Ethereum looks great at 4,600 closing in. I don't think that trade's over by any means. I still think our boy Tom Lee, got to give him a shout out pretty much every call. It has a lot more ammo to fire. There's a lot more interest in Ethereum. I think it has to grow. But, I mean, the darling of this dance right now is Solana. What's it? Probably about 25, 15% off its all-time high, which a lot of people were saying we'd never get back to it. Sitting close to 240, baby. I absolutely love it. I'm getting booed up on Solana, everyone. And
listen. There's a friend of mine out there. He might be listening now. His name's Grant. Nobody's more excited looking at this Solana chart than Grant. Grant has been hounding me. When Solana? When? Not WHEN, WEN. When Solana, TiVo? Tell me. And I told him, just like I've told the listeners, we've been talking about this for about 6+ weeks now, how Ethereum was the belle of the ball, the girl you want to take to the dance, the girl you want to go to prom with. And now it's like, okay, again, Ethereum's not falling out of bed by any means, but Solana has taken that baton in the last month. So let's trim this down to a month, right? 1 month, 20%. 1 month for Ethereum. I mean, let's just get the listeners the facts they deserve. I think it's like 5%. Am I wrong there? Oh, shit. Excuse me. Down 3. So there you go. So Solana last month up 20%. Ethereum, you know, down 2%. You know, I mean, Ethereum can do that in a day. But then again, for the year, up 100. And then obviously, if you go and buy that dip there, I mean, that was one heck of a run. The Bryce Paul bottom right here at about 1,500. The legendary tweet from our fearless leader, Bryce Paul. So I know you're super excited about the Solana action, because that does, as much as people think, like, oh, I thought Brian was the meme coin guy. He's in the trenches. It's like, well, the Solana action has a lot to do with that. Is that part of why you're so excited?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the meme coin sector as well, like, you really need to understand, like, the majors in the ETF inflows if you're in the meme coin world. It's like another, I mean, I really need to understand what's going on in the macro markets to even want to speculate in a lot of these meme coins. So I follow, I follow the majors very closely. I urge our community, I urge our listeners a lot of the time. Again, not financial advice, but my advice to myself, I should say, is I have a substantial bag of a lot of these majors that, you know, I park on a park in safety, and I'm not going to move it until, you know, we hit some serious all-time highs. And I think Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana are three of the strongest. I don't believe that one blockchain is going to surpass all. I think there's a world where all of these can thrive and do well. Like Bitcoin, if you call that the limo, I'm not going to take a limousine to Starbucks. You know, there's a lot of different ways these blockchains are going to be utilized. And Solana, obviously, this year especially, I mean, you could talk DPIN, they do a lot of great things, but meme coins have really driven a lot of interest in the Solana. It's super fast, super cheap. And now we haven't even seen an ETF with Solana. That's what's so interesting to me, TiVo. I think a lot of this price move in here recently is these DATs, digital asset treasuries, are buying hundreds of millions of dollars of Solana. They're putting it on their books. And we saw what that did with Bitcoin and Ethereum. And these are smart people. You know, the DAT right. trade could run its course, but I don't think that's over anytime soon. But then when the ETF for Solana gets approved, there's going to be continuous pressure on buys. It's going to continue to grind up. So I'm just a big fan of Solana for a lot of different reasons. But yeah, it is connected to the meme coin world pretty closely. And meme coins aren't going anywhere anytime soon as well. They're such culture or social talking points in coins. Sure, there's washouts. We need to get rid of the rugs. But there is a very interesting thing taking place in the meme coin world where you can still do very, very well trading meme coins and having fun. But the majority of your portfolio should be in the majors, in my opinion, because you don't want to have 90% of your portfolio in meme coins, in NFTs, and I love those, and I think you can crush with them, but then just watch Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana just absolutely melt faces. You want to have a nice balanced portfolio so you're not sweating every second of a one-minute chart.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more. The way I kind of do it personally, again, couldn't be financial advice for anybody, just two friends talking crypto, is the way the game I like to play the game is like you have your majors, your blue chips, and then you're playing around and you're in Brian and Joe's community and you're getting all that first alert information, you're making your own decisions, but man, you guys have had some winners, and we'll talk about some of those later in the show. We gave one out, you know, last time we were here with I guess we'll set up a teaser, Nobody Sausage. You pulled up that Nobody Sausage thing. I started dying laughing. I was like, this is hilarious. And so, you know, I was like, you know, you didn't give me any personal financial advice telling me to go buy it, but I saw the culture of that. I was like, this Nobody Sausage is hilarious. And so, you know, I went and did it. And then sure enough, boom, it's like, what, in a week or 2 weeks, Nobody Sausage was up to what, 60, 70%?
Yeah, it did pretty well. I wasn't tracking it as closely. I have a bag of it. So it's had its fair share of volatility, like always. But yeah, I think it's close to an all-time high here. And it has to be one of the strongest Web3 teams around, to be completely honest with you. And we're gonna talk about in the meme coin sector, but they signed a pretty big Web2 partnership. And it, like, you know, you don't sign partnerships like we're gonna talk about later in the show without, you know, having something between your ears and knowing exactly what's going on in the market. So I was attracted to this. I think we gave the call within our community. It was like 30 or 40 million, 30 million, right around there. And there was some volatility, so you could have got in lower, but it was still tens of millions of dollars. And when I started digging into it, I was like, man, this seems super interesting. And I had the same reaction you had when you first saw it. I started laughing about it. And then they just continued to produce content. We know how valuable content can be in the world of Web3, in a digital world, obviously. And now they're signing big partnerships. So they're kind of the new kid on the block, and I don't think it's done moving.
Yeah, I mean, you gave it out in the community first, and then you brought it to the podcast. And again, it was right around this area. So you're looking at, you know, you didn't get the full 80% here in the last month. You could have gotten all of it. But you know, I mean, hey, a couple weeks, 50, 60% winner, you can't you know, you can't fault that. Again, we're going to cover the specifics later in the show of a new partnership that Nobody Saucers has for this weekend. So you're going to want to stick around for that. But again, kind of just what Brian referenced, if you're interested in learning more about Brian and Joe's community, where, you know, you're getting these tips, tricks, and trades, and specifically trade alerts that go out first, check the link below, scroll down. I put it there for you guys. There's a link if you're interested to learn more and get more of Brian and Joe every single week. And if not, no worries, because they'll be on the podcast from time to time, just like they have been. But sticking with, we'll jump back to, I know that was a little off topic for me, but that's my fault. Share this tab. Let's jump back to this Solana DAT. And again, back to Galaxy. Galaxy is kind of hopped on the Solana horse. Again, you have the Michael Saylors and the Bitcoin Warriors, and then you have Ethereum and Tom Lee and the Bitmines and the SharpLink Gaming. And then you're going to, you know, there are some Solana people as well, friends of ours, Sol Strategies, that just started trading public on the NASDAQ this week. We've had them on the pod. I've been in talks with Max Kaplan to get them back on the show so we can get an update from them. So it kind of feels like to me, and I'm going to hand it off to you with this, you know, Ethereum and Bitcoin, they have the ETFs, they're live, they have the treasuries, they're live, the flywheel's spinning, right? Solana hasn't gotten that, you know, spot ETF approval yet. So there are treasury companies, and my guess there's going to be more. And then once the ETFs go live, you know, again, like we've said, these institutions, there's certain rules and regulations where they can't, they might love Solana, but they can't go buy Solana on Coinbase. It's against their charter. They're just not allowed to do it. And so they got to wait for these ETFs to get approved, and then the ETFs have to start trading for, you know, months basically before they can even get in. So there's still a huge, in my mind, liquidity unlock through the ETFs, and then also, you know, the treasuries and the DATs. So what are you seeing here?
Yeah, it's kind of what we've been saying from the beginning. We got a lot of digital asset treasuries gobbling up Solana. I don't even know exactly what this forward or Ford does, but they got $1.65 billion in the pipe of cash and stable coins and a connection with Galaxy. They're buying it up. There's going to be more digital asset treasuries that are buying it up. And you're hitting the nail on the head that the real move, in my opinion, is when we get a Solana ETF. I think it's starting to get slightly baked in, because a lot of us are assuming this is happening, and it's why we've seen this nice run up, because people see a little bit higher opportunity with Solana right now than the other majors. But you really can't go wrong. I also think we're hitting an all-time high with Bitcoin by like Halloween. Like, I think we're going to absolutely rip. So I think if that happens, ETH, Solana, a lot of these are going to continue to do really well. But it's going to be key once the ETFs actually come about.
Yeah, and then I think you're going to start seeing more and more of these treasury companies. So, like, I know Galaxy Digital's not a Solana treasury company, but, you know, a $530 million purchase is quite the nod. And that, you know, that team always knows what they're doing, in the sense that, you know, they're on the forefront of this stuff. So, like, I think that's just a huge vote of confidence for Solana. You throw on here that BlackRock's $60 billion Bitcoin ETF success sparks RWA boom. And that RWA boom, for the most part, is kind of geared towards Ethereum and Solana, right?
Yeah, yeah. And this is interesting because they're trying to unlock 24/7 trading for Bitcoin, for ETFs and RWA ETFs. So it's just another piece of news that goes to, I mean, it's freaking BlackRock. What do they have, $9 trillion in assets? Good old Larry there can move needles as fast as anyone. So it's just really great to see a lot of these major financial institutions absolutely hammering the crypto button. And I think it's a very telling sign. If you have anybody sitting at Thanksgiving saying that they don't get it, or the financial system doesn't understand crypto, well, they're starting to get it right now. Oh, actually, it's $16 trillion under their umbrella. $16 trillion.
Dude, that's wild. And then, you know, for BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF and all the others, there's still just major inflows. Again, even considering the seasonality, we're seeing here another, you know, $552 million in inflows just in one day. $1.9 billion since September. It's something I think the cohort of both the hodlers of regular Bitcoin and now the ETF are kind of in this boat where it's hard. They're getting strong hands. I mean, again, when these companies and the hedge funds and these teams are able to buy Bitcoin after this waiting period of seeing how the ETF trades and getting it greenlit to be able to do it, you know, they're buying Bitcoin at 75, 80, 90, 100. Like, you're not buying, if you're buying hundreds of millions and billions of dollars of Bitcoin at 100, you're not trying to sell it for a 10% gain, right? These are long-term buys and long-term lockups. And then, you know, you kind of counter it with, and we cover this as well. We cover both sides. Like when these old wallets wake up of these old ancient whales that, you know, bought, you know, thousands of Bitcoin at $5 a piece, and they start selling, like, we'll let you know. And so, you know, especially when that Grayscale ETF got converted, that was with their fees and all that, that was a huge outflow thing that we were monitoring that we saw. But it just kind of feels like one of those moments where, you know, if you're holding above this 100 to 110 level and you're getting these sellers out of the way, like the next rip could be violent to the upside, in the sense that, you know, 100 is a huge, huge psychological level. There's a lot of people, especially the old ancient whales, that it's just like, hey, what else can you do? You know, if you're buying something at 100, 1,000, and it goes up 100, you know, 100,000, it's like it's time to take chips off the table. So I totally understand that. But once you clear that selling pressure out, there's this new cohort that's been buying Bitcoin at massive levels between, call it, 75 and 110. And I don't know, it just feels like a long-term hold.
Yeah, we're finding higher lows, and that's being pretty much established. I mean, when we first passed 100,000 Bitcoin, I think pretty much everyone kind of knew that we were going to probably dip below it eventually because we're going to get some sell pressure. But then when we passed it again, I don't think, unless we have some like black swan event, that we will see Bitcoin under 100,000.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a black swan or unforeseen economic reasons. But yeah, unless it kind of goes to the fact, like, when you do the research and you have your core beliefs in something, it's like you have your price levels, and there's certain buy zones that if they hit and your thesis hasn't changed, that's where you do the buying. So again, you got to plan your trades and trade your plan. And that's what we're here to do and help educate you. We've got a lot of awesome people in the chat today. We'll just take a quick pause and shout everybody out. One Vision Transition, Baylor Bear, the OGs. They were in here early getting the noise going. Noah Blue, welcome back. CJE, he knows this. We couldn't do it without you, CJE. We've got Adam. We've got DJ Camo from Florida. DJ Camo, what's going on? DJ Camo, what's up with XRP? Been seeing lots of talks on this. DJ Camo, we love XRP. We love the XRP army. It's not something that I personally am a fan of, just for certain kind of the tokenomics around it and how, you know, that kind of the centralization of the token. But, you know, there's money to be made there when that token goes up. A lot of people love it. Ryan, any thoughts on XRP? Me and Brendan kick around XRP a lot. I'm not sure if I've ever gotten your true thoughts on it.
Yeah. I don't want to get the XRP army all over me, you know. They can be brutal. I mean, there's going to probably be an XRP ETF. The price just has been going up only. I have zero exposure to it because, you said, I think it's centralized. It's the tokenomics of it aren't super attractive to me, and I just would rather kind of place my butt somewhere else. But like anybody, I have close friends that have XRP. And I'm not telling them to sell it. I'm just like, hey, that's just not one that I'm personally involved in that much. And, you know, I don't want to talk too much crap on it because it's like, the tokenomics is just funky. That's all. But there's going to be an ETF, and I think it's like over $3. So hats off. Maybe I get a little salty too, because I could have bought it so low as so many times.
Yeah. And dude, there's nothing worse than explaining to a friend, you know, a perfect example could be DJ Camo. It's like, you know, if a close friend who, you know, knows that you're in crypto and you're excited to talk to about all this alpha and, you know, the Solana and the memes and, you know, some good altcoin plays that you have, and they just ask about XRP because they don't know any better. And so you just kind of have to educate your friend and be like, hey, listen, Camo, I know that you don't really know anything about this space. I want to educate you. But, you know, everybody that doesn't know much just jumps right into XRP, and we got to educate you, and we got to get you to listen to the Crypto 101 podcast. Like, subscribe, and tune in, and we'll help educate you and get you, you know, the worldly view of the crypto markets. And again, hey, if you bought XRP at the right time, especially recently, you're up big. So congratulations to them. Big.
Yeah, it's probably going to still go up too. So it's, you know, I buy meme coins as well. I buy meme coins on Vibes. And so I absolutely get it. But personally, I'm not deep into XRP.
Yeah, quick question from Noah Blue. Is Pengu a beta to ETH because of the NFTs, or a beta to Solana because of the token? Any thoughts on that?
It's a good question. It's found on the Solana blockchain. Is it a beta? I mean, if Solana goes up, I would imagine Pengu's going to continue to grind up as well. I think that's super interesting. I think Pengu is kind of carving itself out to being one of the premier meme coins. Kind of what I look at it is like Doge, like meaning like Doge is like the OG meme coin. What it, absolutely ridiculous market cap. Let me see what Doge's market cap it is right now. $41 billion market cap. Not to say Pengu is going to get there, but that's kind of where I have my sights as one of these top trading meme coins of all time. But they're such an interesting content coin. I think it's an, not financial advice, don't want to get in trouble, but I think it's an absolute beautiful position right now. Everything that they're rolling out, I continuously dollar cost average in on it. And I do believe that they will get some sort of like ETF approval. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. I just think like Luca will do whatever's needed. Like he will literally walk to DC to get a Pengu ETF to the finish line if needed. And that's the reason that I think you want to be a part of this show. And specifically your guys' community. You guys were all over Pudgy Penguin from the jump. And it gave me the confidence to go in. And when that token fell off a cliff, I stepped in there and got in. And dude, we're riding high. We're having a great time on some Pengu, thanks to Brian and Joe. But
it's a $2 billion market cap. I mean, Dogecoin's $41 billion. I mean, I get the and Sheeb is $8 billion. Like, who the heck has Sheeb still?
I don't know, man. Yeah,
they do a lot. They do a lot, but they
do, but not like Pudgy. We'll cover that later in the show. But just wanted to we're kind of at the halfway point here. Just wanted to thank everybody who took a couple questions. Thank you guys in the chat. The chat's really, really active. If you do me a favor, just give this video a like. It really helps us grow the channel. And then on the bottom right, you'll see our logo. Give it a click. Hit subscribe. If you're on the desktop version, hit subscribe, turn on the bell so you guys know when we drop all our videos. We're doing multiple things a week, 3 to 4, you know, interviews and rundowns a week, plus all our tutorials. We really, really appreciate you guys tuning in, listening, and everybody in the live. Thank you so much for spending your Friday afternoon with us. But please, please, please toss it a like because it really helps us. Let's close out the macro stuff before we dive into the trenches, Brian.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
You said it earlier, Fidelity. Bitcoin may be worth $1 billion by 2038. One Bitcoin. That seems... I mean, we're the permables. I'd pump the brakes, Fidelity. What's going on over there?
It seems a little clickbaity, but like, hey, I'm not saying no. I will legit, like, anybody in the Crypto 101 community, if that happens, I'll pick you up on the private jet and we'll go on our yacht.
Yeah.
If that actually happens.
Yeah. I think there's so many, kind of like what we were saying with Solana, and like there's still that next layer. It's like, okay, you have the ETFs. Okay, you have the treasury companies. What's next? And it's like mass adoption. With Bitcoin, you still have that kind of, you have the next pillars lined up. The ETFs are there. It feels like the 401k stuff is past or coming. You see all those headlines all the time. It's hard to even know for us. Like, we're trying to figure out exactly what to tell you guys, but what's 100% real. But like, you see it pass, like, oh, this passes, so then crypto can be in your 401k, Bitcoin and crypto. But I haven't really seen that rolled out yet, specifically in products. But like, when that happens, that's a percentage of money. That's a huge liquidity unlock. And then we're kind of all keeping up and eyeing up this nation state Bitcoin strategic reserve, obviously out the gate, in this administration. It was kind of a point to create it and take everything that we had, and instead of like just having it on the books, we put it into a reserve. We're not going to sell it. And then there was that statement that we'll be looking into the possibility of buying new Bitcoin on a, you know, budget neutral way. So in some way that can offset the cost of buying new Bitcoin. And that's the, you know, if you think about the 401ks, and then that obviously is a huge tipping point for like an arms race of accumulating Bitcoin in a way. So those are the two things I have that can really just moonshot you higher. Whereas kind of right now, it feels like we're going to be grinding higher personally. My take, especially just with how big of a market cap Bitcoin is, it's hard to move. So I kind of feel like we're in this grinded higher phase. And again, Bitcoin can move fast, but still the next kind of like hockey stick approach is going to be more legislation and that 401k stuff. And I think the big white buffalo out there is if the US starts buying Bitcoin, that sets a domino effect that I don't think anybody could really quantify.
Yeah, that fires us to another level. I mean, as long as like gold's still trading, and I'm not a fan of gold, but it's like $24-25 trillion market cap, and Bitcoin sitting around like a $2-3 trillion, we have room to grow. Trust me. And especially as this younger generation, even younger than us, TiVo, they're comfortable with digital assets. They're comfortable with everything being digital. They're comfortable with having everything at a finger away on their iPhone, or it's just becoming less like, I can't hold a Bitcoin. That's like someone's holding a bar of gold and going to buy something at Starbucks. Give me a break. But it's gonna definitely close the gap. I mean, permable. I'm a freaking permable, and I should be, because it's gonna happen.
Crypto 101 breaking news from the desk of the Crypto 101 breaking news desk. Gemini has officially IPO'd out of the gate and up 40%. Congratulations to Gemini on the IPO. The Winklevoss twins, they did it. They did it. I mean, what a story. Can you imagine being those guys, in the sense that, number one, it'd be awesome to have all that Bitcoin, all that money, but like kind of like their first intro to the masses was via the Facebook movie, where they definitely were made out to be kind of the bad guys and the villains, and just an amazing kind of journey of just the visionary and to get involved in Bitcoin and still make your own way. Again, I don't even know about the Facebook stuff of, like, you know, what was Hollywood, what was true, what was not. Take that aside, just obviously super, super successful, super, super smart and awesome people. But from a PR perspective, just an absolute 180 and now legends in the space and crushing it. Congratulations to Gemini. Just begins trading. The quick pop was, again, 40% up. And I said it on the show. You can cut the clips. Check the tape. I said this thing's going to go higher out of the gate, but not to circle, kind of like what I said on the show. I don't think we're going to tune in next week and see Gemini up, you know, 200, 300% on the week. But, you know, there's a huge appetite for IPOs in the market, which shows people want stocks. And there's still a huge, huge appetite in TradFi for this crypto stuff. What are you thinking, Brian, on Gemini?
Yeah, I mean, in our private community, we talk about, like, really anything with momentum. It's not just meme coins or NFTs or gaming. Actually, just a couple of weeks ago, whenever we got the announcement from Robinhood and Gemini was releasing it, Joe and I had a little powwow, and I was like, we should give this as, like, a call. Like, people should subscribe to it, because we knew, just like you said, it was going to go up out of the gate. Now you need to, like, do your own due diligence and sell when you need to sell, but up 40% is massive. It was like 20x over subscribed, something crazy like that. So we know there's massive demand, but this just goes to show you that there's massive interest and massive demand in anything crypto related. And Gemini, Winklevoss twins, I got your credit card, 4% cash back. You just made billions, billions. Let's get those are rookie numbers. Let's get that 4% up a little bit. Let's get it up to 8%, 10%. Make me really sweat every purchase on that credit card.
Yeah. I like the play. I like the Gemini play. I think that again, it went live, so it priced out at 20. Originally it was like 21 to 24. And they priced out at 28, and then the first trade off the jump here was at $40. So 45% gap. They left a little on the table, but that's all right. Did you get any? I got a couple shares. I just got notified this right before we went live. I got a little basket of Gemini through Robinhood and their what do you call it, IPO offering. So, you know, not much, just a true little nibble, little snack. But up 45% on a Friday afternoon, you can't complain. Did you get any?
Yeah, the boys are eating a little bit. I got some, you know, filet and lobster tail for the kids tonight.
Hell yeah,
I got a small bag of it because I've been, like, getting, like, priced out or something on these, like, and not getting a lot on the Robinhood. So I've been, like, trying to, like, figure out how they do the algorithm. So I actually dialed back my offering compared to some of these past IPOs, to just so I could secure some, because I got, like, priced out of some before. Right. But yeah, I got a little bag, nothing crazy. Probably after the show here, I'm going to have to really, like, sit down and kind of think through if I want to just sell and lock in profits. No one ever went broke taking profits. But I need them to just get those percentages up on the Gemini credit card. I'm a lifer here, Gemini.
I love it. If anybody's interested, Joe actually did a little tutorial for us for how to buy the IPO stocks via Robinhood. So if you're interested in that tutorial, you're already in the right place. If you're on YouTube, just go click. You can check out our playlist. Go to Crypto Education, and it'll be in that one for the Robinhood IPO tutorial. So let's go, Brian. My God, Brian, we're 45 minutes in.
We're not even halfway through the show.
All right, we'll skip some of this.
We've been talking macro for 45.
Oh, we did a little bit of everything. I don't know. We had a nobody sausage bit in there. We were talking about Pengu. We were all over the place. Yeah. It's Friday. It's fun. And, dude, the chat is still active. Roger, thanks for the comment. Thinking it'll be about a year before 401k retirements. Thank you. Noah's still in here. Grant's in there. Camo's in there. The boys are buzzing on a Friday. So we really do appreciate everybody sticking around.
I love that.
Let's just jump into the meme coin stuff. We got to do it. We'll save the rest of the stuff for later in the week. We can recover a couple of that next week with Brendan. Pump. We called this. We had you on for the pump. This, you know, the initial coin offering. You guys were excited about it, but you're a little worried about it. And it did go live. It didn't do well out of the jump, but we did come on here and we talked about, God, I can't remember what was the other competitor to Pump.
There was a couple. Heaven, Bonk, launch pads.
Yes, the Bonk. Yes, Bonk. But then you guys did say on the show, you're like, I don't think this Pump sell-off is too much. Like, it'll come back. It'll have its day. Sure enough, it has. Flying high. I think Bonk's fallen off. That Bonk, platform's fallen off a little bit numbers-wise. What are you seeing for Pump? And then we got a little some hype action here as well.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple weeks ago, Momentum Moneymakers, shout out if you're in here. You know, I gave it a call just like 2 weeks ago. I was like, this looks freaking juicy. I was like, we hit a bottom with Pump, and now we're grinding up. And I stand by that because it's pretty easy to stand by it when you're up, quite a bit from that call. I am, full disclosure, a Pump.Fund holder. I was initially got a little shaken out, and I knew there was going to be a sellout when we first had the ICO, and I was a little nervous, but then we really found a bottom there. We found a bottom, as you can see, and then now it's just curling back up massively. They're doing massive buybacks, man. There's something. I got it from Tyler, who we shared a tweet recently, so shout out Tyler for this. I think Hyperliquid had $14 million in revenue. Pump had $14 million in revenue, and Hyperliquid had $16 million in revenue, and they both do 100% buybacks. But there is a huge difference between the market caps between the two of those. So that's really what like sparked my interest to make it Pump a call. I was like, it either is showing that Hyperliquid is extremely overvalued, which I do not believe it is, or Pump is extremely undervalued. And that was really the message I gave to our community a few weeks back. I was like, this just looks like it's going to pop off. I was like, they're getting massive amounts of revenue and they're doing 100% buybacks. And really, if you and I, if anybody was going to create a meme coin right now or a major company, we're going to do it on the Pump platform. The Pump tokens seem to be the ones that are doing the best. So I kind of stopped FUDing my own position and was like, yeah, it feels like we found a bottom here in late August, and I made it a call, and I stand by it because it looks juicy sitting at what, a 6 billion FDV, 2 billion market cap. And again, I think there's clear skies ahead here.
Yeah. And then here, sorry, I didn't throw up your last thing. Is this something you just talked about or something to tie in?
Yeah. That's the one I just talked about there. Pump and Hype are basically tied in revenue for the week, but Hype is trading at 10 times the premium. I think it's a great call out by him, and it's something that I've thought about for a few weeks now. And that really is what sparked me to make it a call within the Momentum Moneymakers, because I was like, this just feels too undervalued. And it's been tested way too much as well. Like, there's been the Bonk launch pad. There's been that Heaven Dex that like I was pretty high on, actually. But I was. It seemed really good, man. They were doing some interesting flywheel stuff, but Pump just started eating their lunch, and they're the premier, so stopped resisting and started buying a little bit more, and it's performed very well for me and the community.
Hell yeah. And again, if you're interested in getting that information around the community, getting more access to Brian and Joe, touch points with them weekly, the first to their alerts, so you can get calls like this right when they make them, and again, get that alpha and make your own decisions and educate with them. If you're interested in getting access to that, go down in the description, scroll down, click the link, and I put a link there for more information about Brian and Joe's Crypto Money Makers, Momentum Money Makers, trial. Go down there, click it, and that's, again, how you're going to get access to Brian and Joe and get first alerts for their trade alerts, which, again, is some of the best alpha you're going to find, because, like you just said, they've been on absolute fire. You guys have been crushing it. And none other than, I'm going to jump us back to Nobody Sausage. So Nobody Nobody Sausage, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. I know you gave it out in the community a little bit before then. And then, again, there's some volatility in it, but just ripped higher, ripped to the upside. When I saw that and I went in, I bought a little sausage. I threw one on the grill for myself. And I didn't look at it. It was one of those ones where I was like, this is funny. I'm going to buy it. Like, I'm riding with Brian. This thing made me laugh. I'm in. and I bought it. And then I didn't look for like, I don't know, a week, 10 days. And then I went on. I was up 75%. I was like, oh, let's go. Nobody sausage. But I think kind of to set the stage, number one, it's funny, right? We brought it up. I was the first thing I said. I was like, this thing's hilarious. Great art. And specifically, they have that kind of, you know, lead from the front mentality where they're interacting a lot on social media. They're interacting with Luka Netz and Pengu. They're doing like a little Pengu posting collabs where Pudgy Penguin's interacting with Nobody Sausage. And then the reason we brought it back up, not just for you to be able to take a victory lap for giving out Nobody Sausage, both in the community and on the podcast, but dude, a wild announcement. There's this this fight this weekend, Crawford versus Canelo, and Nobody Sausage is gonna be on Crawford shorts. It's an official sponsor. Nobody Sausage is an official sponsor for Team Crawford for the fight this Saturday on Netflix.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was just looking when I made this call. It was in the middle of July, so it took a little time to cook, right around like a $35 million market cap. So we've at least 2x'd that. It's continuing to go even higher. And then we talked about it last week, like you said. We're just seeing the meme more and more. And that's when you can really start to like, you know, okay, this is getting traction. And like I said, this has to be one of the stronger meme coin teams out there. This isn't like just some kid in his basement streaming about Nobody Sausage. I mean, they got Crawford to put it on his shorts and they're sponsoring him in some form or fashion. So it's becoming more mainstream. I'm seeing a lot of Web3 companies talk about it. We got Gemini's and MoonPays. They've been using the meme. Oh, you and I had a good laugh about it. And again, I do think this could go higher. If this was back in like the meme coin bull run of January, this thing would be at like $1 billion right now. So there's definitely been some like it's a more of an organic meme, and I'm super excited for what they're doing. And I'm excited. I mean, I might dabble in the prediction markets a little bit on our boy Crawford. So he can if he wins that match, I don't think it would hurt the Nobody brand by any means. But look at these things.
Dude, they're so, so funny. We got to watch this video. Anybody that memes, as my friends know and you know, I'm a huge memer, a professional memer. When I think I see a good meme, we got to watch it. Let's watch this.
You say that because you're fighting with nobody.
So when I beat you, is you going to be a nobody?
Nobody.
It's good. It's so good. They're clever, man. They're super clever. They got a recognizable meme. You sent this to me actually over the weekend.
I was first to it. Yo, credit to me. I was first to the Nobody Sausage Crawford thing. I'm scrolling through. I was just like, is that Nobody Sausage in like the boxing Canelo fight? What? And then I sent it. And then I sent it to Grant, a friend of the show, Grant. And he's like, his jaw was on the floor. And he's like, oh, I should have bought it. And I was like, oh, you listen every week, Grant. Again, it's not personal financial advice for anybody, but we're just trying to educate you to make your own decisions. And you know, this is the place. You know, if you want the information first, again, scroll down, check the link for Brian and Joe's community. That's if you want that first alert stuff. If not, we're going to bring it to the podcast and try and educate you the best we can. Obviously it's going to be a little bit later on some things, cause the community does get first priority, but you know, there's alpha to be had. And you know, when you know Brian's coming on the show, he's bringing something. That's what it's so fun to have you on. Like Brendan has his skill set in the technical analysis, so you know what you're getting every week. You're just like, oh, Brendan is going to show us the way. He's got his little crystal ball with the technical analysis stuff, and he can kind of show us what happens and where we think we're going. But you just come out swinging like a Nobody Sausage Terrence Crawford boxer. Every time you come on the show, like, you know Brian's bringing something. You know he's giving you some alpha, and you locked in. You bring out your pen, your paper, and you're taking notes. And that's why it was so funny when it was Nobody Sausage. I was like, I wonder what Brian's bringing today. And then it's just this hot dog looking hilarious person called Nobody Sausage, which is just hilarious. And then you can see there from what I'm sharing, look, like a little Nobody Sausage with Pudgy Penguin. And that's how we'll transition over is Pengu shows up on the Seth Rogen show. Should I play this clip? It's a minute long.
Just play the first couple seconds of it. Here, you see it on zip. There it is, the plushie in the back.
What the fuck?
Oh!
Whoa!
Oh man, that was Seth Rogen. My God, don't demonetize us.
I should have paid attention a little bit to the that word goes in one ear and out the other sometimes. But yeah, I've actually talked about this quite a bit. This is a huge show with Seth Rogen on Apple TV, and the whole like center of this show is around this pudgy penguin plushie. So
really?
It's wild. That's a pudgy penguin plushie right there. So it just goes to show you that they are freaking. I don't know if Luka Netz sleeps, man. That guy, I mean, and the more partnerships, the more traction you get, people start to answer your phone calls a little, and return your phone calls, I should say, when you want to partner with them. So it's not surprising, but they are truly like becoming like the Disney of Web3. And I don't want to throw that around too much because a lot of people do. But man, I am freaking bullish on Pengu. I am very, very bullish. I mean, they're freaking applying for ETFs. Somebody in the chat earlier, shout out, was talking about it as a beta possibly to Solana. That's why it was even hard for me to answer that, because it feels like it could be leading the meme coin world in a couple years. Like it's they're doing amazing stuff, and I'm here for it. Yeah, what is it? Sharp. Yeah, I put this earlier. Sharp Technology partners with Pudgy Penguin. So an actual digital asset treasury, a traded stock, is partnering with Pudgy Penguins and their IP, and you're going to see it more and more. Just crazy stuff over there. And I know you're going to bring up the Pudgy Party stuff. I do have some interesting stuff going on there.
Yeah, this thing launched. I see it all over the timeline. I guess definitely biased because I love Pudgy Penguin. I'm a holder of Pengu, full disclosure. And so I guess that stuff kind of finds me on the timeline easier than others. But I will say that I can kind of, as the social media, you know, that again, that skill, that's my expertise on the team, right? I'm that kind of deep diving in the trenches of social media. I can tell when it's because, oh, this is my feed, I'm getting this. And then I can tell when something's getting a lot of play. And the Pudgy Party was getting a ton of play. People were playing it. They were sharing, and they get just again and again. I saw, I'm playing because I know that Luka is going to try to get us some alpha here. You're trying to figure out how to get involved. But then everybody kept saying, but I started playing because of that. I kept playing because it's fun. And then you see all this stuff with the skins where people are winning these skins and then flipping them for a couple grand. What's going on with Pudgy Party? And is this another absolute home run from Pudgy Penguin?
It's a little bit of alpha for the show. You know, if I had alpha for the show, I downloaded Pudgy Party last night. I was a little late to the game getting to it. I've been seeing it everywhere. And just, you know, with everything that we do, I didn't have a lot of time to like sit down and learn how to play a game. And there's not a big learning curve, everyone. It's super easy to sign up for. You go to like, this is a good thread. You can go to like Mythical Marketplace, sign up, or just download this on your iPhone. I downloaded it on my iPhone and gave it to my four-year-old. And I was like, hey, Bo, grind over this a little bit, just making a joke. And he started playing it. And then me and him were like locked in it for like over an hour last night, playing like races and all different games and winning skins and getting points. And to be completely honest with you, I can't wait to play it again. And I'm not like a gamer at all. Like, it is super rare. If like someone like, I would rather watch somebody play video games than play them. Super, unless it's Big Buck Hunter, you know, shout out to that. But it's an extremely fun game. I do believe there could be some alpha behind it. There's people that are making hundreds of dollars. I've seen some people saying thousands of dollars. I haven't been there yet, but I just got ramped up last night. And I can't wait to kind of do it again later tonight with my kids. And I got the Solana Seeker phone. It's like a new phone. It's from Solana. It just got delivered yesterday. And I made a joke with one of my buddies. I was like, what am I even going to do with this thing? Like the phone, because I have like an iPhone. And then it just hit me. I go, I'm just going to put the Pudgy Party on it and let my kids grind over it all weekend and play. And you can earn skins. You can earn money. I'm still diving a little bit deeper. and taking a look of exactly what's happening, but it's an elite time. I highly recommend everyone check it out. It's free. It's one of those things where you can free and you can make money or you can just have a good time. My kids are eating it up.
Yeah, well, we know the McNutt kids are alpha seekers, so if they're entertained by it, I think that's, you know, that's enough. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. If their attention is being grabbed, there's some alpha there for sure. We're going to do some quick hitters to end the show here. We are going to cut some topics short, but that's okay because we're going to have Brian back. And as always, he's going to keep bringing alpha. Rec Drinks, friend of the show. You guys and Brian and Joe just love Rec Drinks. Anything new here?
Yeah, man. They're partnering with MoonPay. Shout out to Ovi, who's running it. You know, we would love to get some Rec Drinks for the show. We'll be drinking them and popping them. So reach out if you see this. But they have a partnership with MoonPay. I think there are about 750,000 cans sold. More likely, this actually got dropped. It's going to drop next Friday, the 19th. So I'm not sure if we're going to be doing one of these shows or not. But if we are, I'm going to probably have to take a 30-second break to secure a whole bunch of cases. You do get drank points for this. Joe's kind of touted a lot of the time. You like actually get rec tokens a majority of the time, which literally pays for the cases plus money. They're fabulous, man. They taste good. This flavor is a peach raspberry. It's supposed to taste fantastic. And be completely honest with you, I think it's the best looking can out of the group. This is a big one. I think they're going to sell, finally hit that million can mark. And it's a big movement. We've been talking about it with our community over the past few days, and I think a lot of people are going to dive into it because it seems to be even plus money, and you get the drinks, and it's a great brand, all the above. Really fired up for this.
Yeah, I love it. You guys have been, again, super early to Rec Drinks. All the more reason to scroll down, check the description for Momentum Moneymakers, and check the link. This is the kind of stuff that you get early. Brian and Joe were on it. They bought the drinks. They brought them in person when we had our in-person event together, sharing the drinks, sharing the knowledge, sharing the profits, again, with everybody. If you're interested in joining the community, scroll down, check it out, get access, more access to Brian and Joe. We're going to have to save some of these for next time, Brian. I thought this one was a good one. OpenSea, they're doing a little token launch here with
Sea. Yeah, Their TGE event's coming. I'll make this fast. TGE event is coming in the next couple months. Can't remember off the top of my head the exact time frame. They mention it in that thread. But there's a way to go about it in a few days. I think it's September the 15th. You get this treasure chest, essentially. And there's going to be like daily quests and things you can do. So the thing that we want to note for everyone, I myself was a big NFT trader, especially on OpenSea. That it will be, if you were a trader back in the day, you're going to get the C token. This is separate. This is something new. I'm going to talk about with our community a little bit more when I get more sophisticated with how we can earn. But there's going to be daily quests, these treasure chests, things that they want you to do. They have 22 chains they support. You trade across those chains, you're going to get more opportunity for this C token. So again, some alpha. If you've been wanting to buy some NFTs, I definitely buy them on OpenSea because there's some ways to get credit. But September the 15th is a date everyone should be going to their OpenSea account and taking a look of how they can pretty much do stuff for free to earn the C token, which I think it's a perfect time to drop this C token. I think it's going to be a massive liquidity event to a lot of the trenchers out there who've been in the space for a long time. And I think it's going to do well.
Yeah, and somebody that doesn't play in that space as much as you, I know OpenSea is a big name, and I think it's important for big names when they have big events like this for it to go well, and to go well for the community and go well for the holders and go well for everybody who participates, because especially in crypto as a whole, there's all these big events that happen, and when they go wrong and it's liquidity suck and, you know, people just get absolutely, you know, taken advantage of or rugged, it's like it's just such a bad branding exercise, and it's bad for the space as a whole. But I feel like OpenSea is one of those, especially in the NFT game, right? It's just one of those OG players. So, you know, it's something to watch, and if it goes well, it kind of gives you that little momentum forward of like, okay, NFTs, they're not dead, they're actually here and we're moving forward, and it could be something to get excited about.
Yeah, the 15th. Everyone check it out on Monday. That is more alpha for everyone. Check it out. There's going to be free ways to earn real money and I don't think it's going to be too tedious. We don't have too many details. If you go to OpenSea's main account, like TiVo's showing there, there's a thread by the CEO kind of breaking down exactly what happens. Check it out, man. I literally just right now while you're talking put a reminder on my calendar for Monday morning that I got to get cooking on whatever's happening here.
Let them cook. Last thing, we had this to talk about with the ETFs, and we talked about on the show early in the week that there might be some ETFs to get approved today. Looks like they got pushed out, so they're eyeing next week. But then as Brendan pointed out, Brian, like these aren't spot ETFs, and the spot ETFs would be more exciting than just regular ETFs. So again, exciting in the sense that it's the name, it's the branding, it's, you know, getting stuff moved forward. But what we're really looking for Doge or for Trump or for XRP is like you want spot, right? Not just regular. So that decision got pushed out. Overall, we're eyeing up Fed Week. We are going to be here next week with multiple shows covering everything from our normal rundowns to specifically the clearing event that the Fed will give us. I guess we got to tee it up. We're going over. We're going long. Poly market. What are you looking for? What are you looking for Fed rate cuts? What's the call here? People are saying 25 is a lock and 50 bips is a little bit outer on the risk curve for a gamble here. But what are you seeing?
Yeah, well, Polymarket confirmed that they're going to come into the United States, which is freaking huge. Prediction markets are the thing. We talked about it last time on the rundown. A huge amount. I think week one smashed. And we also had the most traded NFL football game of all time were through prediction markets. So again, I have some DraftKings ties. So I would imagine DraftKings is kind of sweating it a little bit with all this action that's happening on these prediction sites. We could have a whole show about how popular these are right now.
People are talking about it.
We talked about this last week, the 50 bips trade. The next day, I went in and put that 50 bips trade in. And it was 4% whenever I did it. And it ran all the way up to about 20%. I sold my position. So you can buy and sell. I sold my position right around like 13 or 14%. It continued to climb, but you know, you can never buy the bottom and sell the top. Feel great about it. I think 25 bips is pretty much a lock, not financial advice. It's not going to pay great because it's at 88%. But this is the type of stuff you can get on these prediction markets, man. I literally saw a prediction the other day, like, will Darth Vader's lightsaber sell over under for $3 million? And I like sat there for a little bit and I was like, it's got to be over, right? Like, it's got like the Darth Vader's lightsaber, or the original lightsaber. There's some Star Wars fans. The interesting thing about it is that even if you don't have access to buying a lot of these things, you can still get exposure through prediction markets. And yeah, the Fed decision looks like it's a lock at 25 bips. I think if we got a 50 bips cut, that would be kind of the Fed saying that they messed up and they should have did cuts earlier. And I think the ego is a little bit too big to see that happen. That's why I sold my position. But when we talked about this 2 weeks ago, it was like 3 or 4%. I was like, this feels way too low. And that's the beauty of these prediction markets. You could sell out of your position as the time looks stronger. Did I think 50 bips was coming? No, but it just felt too low. So I put a couple shekels on it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you with the 50. I think it's the ego thing of how it would look if they do 50. And how it would look is, something might be worse than we really even thought. Something might / could break, and then that scares the market and spooks the market. So yeah, I think best case scenario is 25 bips, and we'll see what next week brings. Just a little breaking news: Gemini popped to 40%, now down 20%. So trading at $33, a little volatile start there to Gemini as expected. And then Bitcoin, while we were live on the air, hit 116,000. Giving us a little Friday momentum. Guys, we really, really appreciate you tuning in. We're going to have Brian and Joe on a lot more. If you're still here, give us a like. It really helps us grow the channel. And if you haven't, again, bottom right, our logo, click, subscribe, turn on the bell notifications. We want to be here with you guys. We appreciate the chat being so active. Again, if you want more access to Brian and Joe, in the description, go down, click out, and check the Momentum Moneymakers link. So you can get the first alerts and learn more from Brian and Joe around the meme coins. Guys, for Brian, my name's TiVo. We really appreciate you guys joining us on a Friday afternoon. We got a big week next week, so we hope to see you all. But enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.